You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Little jam shot. Adamas Reddit is a hit all the way. Here's the throw home. Not in time.
Now, back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap, the best Giants talk in the Bay on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, bring it on, man.
All right, Jan, I am going to bring it on. Welcome back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. Sam Lubman here. Steve Risotto, Zach Green behind the glass. Shout out to all those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Want to hear from the Giants fans. What do you care about more, winning or development? What matters more to you these last 2 months? What are you excited for? Possibly winning baseball games or possibly seeing guys come up from AAA and show what the future of this team could look like? Bob Melvin said last night that the trade deadline was a bit of a wake-up call, and this is a team that they feel can kind of straddle both sides of the coin here, where I don't think you can straddle a coin. They can play kind of both sides here. They can try and win for now, and you have that option. You have guys like Rafi Devers, Willie Adames, Matt Chapman, among others. Dom Smith, the real big Dom, not that fraud out in Philadelphia who just stands on the sideline and looks stupid. God, how fun is it that football season's back? So those are win-now guys. Or, you know, they also have a chance to see a bit of the future. We're going to see a little bit of that today with Carson Wisenhunt. We saw that a little bit last night with Kaiway Tang and Drew Gilbert. I think one of those two is probably more of a future piece than the other. I will let you, the listener, decide which one is which. So there's options both ways here. Giants are 4 games out of the wild card spot. And we just had Steven Ruderman on of Sports Radio Service. Covers the Giants and Rivercats for them. And he brought up a very astute point that the National League wildcard race, which just a couple weeks ago looked like one of the toughest races we've seen in a while, is suddenly looking very not all that scary looking. Giants are 4 games out, but the Reds, they are struggling. They've lost their last 3. And that's a team that the Reds for the last couple years have always seemed like they're a year away. And I feel like that's kind of still the case here with this Reds team. Then right above them is the New York Mets, who have lost 5 in a row, 9 of their last 10. They are in a free fall that will be talked about a lot more if the Yankees weren't trying to one-up them with the free fall that they are having in that town. The Padres, they did lose last night, but they're still in the mix of things. They do come to town next week. Giants have 7 games left against them. Can they go 5-2, as Steven said? Certainly be nice. Chicago Cubs hold that top wild card spot. I don't think you're catching the Cubs. That's a damn good baseball team right there. I don't think that one's in play right there. But Mets, Padres, very catchable, potentially. What are the odds that the Giants can catch that? Can't catch those teams. What are the odds they can catch those teams? Get into that in a second. I am getting into it in a second because first I want to tell you that tonight after the 49ers preseason opener against the Broncos, I need y'all to lock in here with 95.7 because Mark Grandy, the Grandy man, you sometimes hear him saying all the smart things on Willard and Dibbs. He will be on right after the final whistle, breaking down the Niners' first preseason game. Talk all about that one play that Brock Purdy was in for. Talk about that zero plays that Christian McCaffrey was in for. Talk about what we saw from Jason Pinnock. How is Upton Stout going to look in his preseason debut? Ricky Pearsall, can you handle Patrick Surtain?
Possibly.
Yeah, we'll see. Kyle Shanahan, you going to choke this one away?
Possibly.
Yeah, there we go. We'll wait for the playoffs for that one. So all of those topics and more, talk about with Mark Grandy tonight after the 49ers' final whistle. It is their preseason opener. Football is back, but we're a baseball show. Thank you, Bonte. And last night, Bob Melvin, I want to play what Bob Melvin said about the wake-up call because I do believe that, again, playoffs, while a long shot, or they are still in the cards. Crazier things have happened in this sport. And as long as the playoffs are in the cards, I want to see this team chase that dream. That's just how I am. I like it when my baseball teams win. Call me crazy. I am not a guy who is just like, you know what? If you're not in it, tank for a draft pick. Call me crazy. I do not believe in tanking in baseball.
Oh, but the Astros did it.
The Astros are a very well-run team. And yes, did they tank for three straight number one picks? They did. Two of those number one picks never signed. And Carlos Correa was not the sole reason why those Astros teams were so successful. So it's not about just tanking for one of those top picks. You got to have smart baseball people who know how to develop these guys. And the Astros have that.
Oh, the Cubs did it too.
Yeah, and the Cubs probably left a lot of winning on the table with the way that that team broke apart. Yeah, you want to talk about disastrous rebuilds and disastrous tank jobs. Look what the Orioles are going through right now. Because if you botch your tank job, then not only did you waste 4 or 5 years of 100-loss baseball, but now you're back to square one. And the Orioles look like they're lost in the wilderness despite having a lot of guys who should be good. And it's just not working out for them right now. And it all comes down to the fact that the Giants had a dynasty, 3 titles in 5 years, built off talent that none of them were drafted higher than 5. Buster Posey was the highest pick of those teams at number 5. So there are ways to do it. You do not have to lose now to win later. I want to see what this team can do now because this is a win-now team. Rafi Devers, Willy Adames, Matt Chapman, Elliot Ramos. Those are the guys you have on a team where the goal is, let's win today, and then we'll win tomorrow. One game at a time. Let's see what we can do. Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, those are co-aces. They've struggled a little bit since the All-Star break. Logan Webb looked great in his last start against the Pirates. Robbie Ray gutted through 6 innings. I still trust those guys. And they will be taking on the Padres next week, Monday and Tuesday. It'll be Webb and Ray on the hill taking on the Friars. Big series there for the Giants there. Need to take 2 of 3 from the Padres. I need at least 6 wins on this 9-game homestand. Just keep winning series, and the Giants have been doing that since the trade deadline. And again, a lot of teams can look at moving players at the deadline as a white flag. Bob Melvin does not think so.
Yeah, I it was also a wake-up call for the team, too. You know, we didn't play well enough to add at the deadline, but we also feel like we have enough here. So I think similar to earlier in the season when we made some moves and got on a run, it was a message to the players that, you know, the time's gone by, we're going to do some things a little bit differently. And I think similar to the trade deadline, it was kind of about that, you know, we're not adding, but, you know, we're also looking for the future. We're looking at the short term, but we have enough guys here, especially all our core guys that are going to be here to still have success.
All the core guys here to still have success, and they're still going to get a look at the future. I was very encouraged by the debut of Drew Gilbert. But if the Giants are going to make a playoff run here, the lineup's going to be a part of it. The bigger part of it, though, is going to be the bullpen. And that's what I want to get into right here. And I asked Bob Melvin about this before the game. And the reason I did is because a week ago, a little over a week ago, the trade deadline was last Thursday, so about 9-10 days ago, Giants had a pretty set bullpen. You had Randy Rodriguez was your guy in the seventh. And, you know, if Randy wasn't available, maybe you go with Eric Miller, who he should be back soon. In fact, Randy was your seventh inning guy in 18 games. Eric handled 16 games in the seventh inning. And then in the eighth inning, Tyler Rogers was your go-to setup man. One of the most reliable eighth inning guys in baseball for the last 6 years, 6.5 years. Made those eighth innings very, very stress-free. And then the ninth inning, you had either Ryan Walker at one point or Camilo Doval. Bullpen roles are very, very important because relievers, especially your relievers you go to the most, they like to know when they're going to come into games. It helps them get focused on the days on the day ahead, helps them know when they need to be ready. Now, in a bullpen, there's always a level of, I mean, they call these guys firemen for a reason. At any point in time, there could be a fire out there on the field, not a literal fire, but like, you know, runs being scored, guys on base and all that, what have you. And then you need the reliever on no notice, like, oh, hey, this game's gone sideways. Get warmed up, even though it's the third inning. That is reality that relievers do live with. But for the most part, that's not what your standard game's going to look like. Your standard game is your starter's going to give you five, hopefully six innings, and then you turn it over to your bullpen. Your seventh inning guy knows, hey, it's the fifth inning. I got to start loosening up. Your eighth inning guy knows, hey, it's the sixth inning. I got to start getting ready. Your closer knows, hey, seventh, eighth inning, this game's close. I got to get ready to shut the door. You want those guys to know what their roles are. And a week and a half ago, you had very set bullpen roles. This team last year, Bob Melvin's first year at the team, struggled a little bit with the bullpen early on because Bob Melvin was trying to figure out who fits in what role the best. Part of that was because Camilo Doval was struggling. But part of that was because, you know, he's a new manager coming in. He's trying to get a sense of the arms that he has at his disposal. And this year, Bob did not have that problem because of Randy Rodriguez being so dynamite in the seventh inning. Because Eric Miller, as a lefty, the lone lefty in the bullpen, was good enough to get not just lefties, but also righties out at a consistent rate. Because Tyler Rogers was probably the best eighth inning guy in baseball. One of the best eighth inning guys. Even though he didn't have blow-by-you stuff. The dude just got outs. And that's what you want your pitchers to do. And Ryan Walker, you know, did what he could in the closer spot. Camilo Doval did what he could in the closer spot. You don't have that set role anymore. Randy Rodriguez, your seventh inning guy, he's now your ninth inning guy. And as he has learned here early on, he's had a couple hiccups in the ninth inning already. He's had some rough finishes in the ninth inning already. That transition to the ninth inning, it's a different beast getting those last three outs. You know, there's extra pressure there. Teams are going to dig into the box a little bit harder, a little bit more aggressively when they only have 3-2-1 outs left to play with. You know, Randy is learning right now that the three outs you get in the seventh inning are just nowhere near the level of the three outs you got to get in the ninth inning. I've always said you need to have like a weird edge to you to be a closer. You know, part of the reason why Brian Wilson was such a dynamic closer for this team was because he was kind of a nut. And you need to be kind of a nut to handle those last three outs.
Right, right.
You have to have that edge, that this extra fire in you. Sergio Romo kind of had that edge to him. That's what enabled him to be a great closer. Just because you are a great reliever does not mean you're going to be a great closer. Santiago Casilla, he is part of that core four in the bullpen, one of the greatest relievers in the history of San Francisco Giants baseball. You know, he's a three-time champ. He is there are three trophies in cases at Oracle Park that are the present because in part of the work that Santiago Casilla did late in games. And you know that he did great because if I asked you right now, You can't even remember a single Santiago Casilla relief appearance in any of those three playoff runs because none of them were bad enough that you would remember them. That's called just getting the job done, being consistent. And yet when the Giants tried him out in the closer spot in 2014, did not go very well. Tried out again in 2016, did not go very well. And it ended up leading to a very messy, ugly end between the Giants and Santiago Casilla, unfortunately. Now, I still consider him one of the great relievers in Giants history. And just because he struggled in the closer spot does not change that. But this all goes to show is great late-game relievers did not necessarily become great closers. Now, what's that mean for Randy Rodriguez? It means we're going to have to figure out if he is that closer or not. And that's going to be part of the experimentation that the Giants do down the stretch here. Now, for all you, all the fans out there saying that winning doesn't matter, it is about development. Well, congratulations, you're getting what you asked for in the ninth inning. The ninth inning is all about development right now while trying to win. And that is Randy Rodriguez's job in the ninth inning. Now, the other issue is, while you're trying to break in a new closer, how are you going to get the ball to the closer? You know, Logan Webb can't just go out and throw eight innings every start and then give the ball to Randy Rodriguez. Robbie Ray is not going to go into the eighth inning every night, so then we just give the ball to Randy Rodriguez in the ninth. And then you got Justin Verlander, Landon Root, Carson Wisenhunt, Kaiway Tang, what have you. The sixth, seventh, and eighth innings are all up in the air right now for the Giants, which was not the case a week and a half ago. So, Bob Melvin, how difficult is it to reconfigure your bullpen and get new bullpen roles together in the middle of a season like you have to right now?
It's just something you have to do, you know, whether it's an injury or whether in this case it was trades. You know, you do the best with what you have. And Walker's pitched late in games before. We brought over, you know, Budo's pitched late in games before. He's going to be a significant reliever for us. And we have two lefties down there right now that have pitched really well. Miller's could be on his way back fairly soon, maybe this homestand. So we still have a lot of good bullpen pieces. Arranging it will be kind of who's available and who performs well.
So that was Bob Melvin. That was pregame, by the way. Bob Melvin doing his pregame availability with us there, asking him about the bullpen. And again, yeah, the little nugget dropped in there. Eric Miller could be back on this homestand. That would be huge. But this is the reality that Bob Melvin has to deal with here, is getting these bullpen roles in order. So what does that look like? Who do you want to see where in the bullpen? 888-957-9570. Call or text us on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. So the way I look at it, let's break it down here by inning. Let's start with the seventh inning. The sixth inning is its own beast in terms of those middle innings. But let's start with the seventh inning right now. And I think I would like to see Ryan Walker get more shots in the seventh inning. I know a lot of fans are full of consternation. It's a consternation sensation, some might say. That's a buck. When it comes to Ryan Walker on this team, and I get that. It's been really rough for him at times this year. And I have had some frustrations on how he's been used a little bit. I don't like the fact that he came into the season as the closer, but it was basically like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's only a matter of time before we bump you out of there for Camilo Doval. I don't like the fact that they put him in a role that was just like, eventually we're going to rip you out of it, whether you're good at it or not. I mean, if he was excelling at it, I'm sure they would have let him do it a little bit longer, but I did not like the fact that Ryan Walker came into the closer basically with a ticking clock on him for when Camilo Doval was ready. They got to get his confidence back up. They got to get that edge back into him. Mechanically, I think he's been pretty sound. But if he can just get some good outings together, and this is what's difficult for a reliever. We had George Contos on the wrap a couple weeks ago with Dan and I, and he talked about how, you know, it is very difficult for a reliever to get back on track when you're having a rough season. When you're a starting pitcher, you have set dates of when you're going to be pitching, and you have bullpens in between those outings that you can work on your mechanics and figure your things out. When you're a reliever, your schedule is so day-to-day. You might pitch one day, you might not pitch the next day. And Contos talked about how Bruce Bochy was very, very good at getting guys back in the next day when relievers had a rough day. But sometimes that's just not always the case. And I think Ryan Walker this year, he's really been battling with trying to get his season back on track. But the problem is, it seems like every time he's about to take that step to being back, you know, to the level we saw him these last couple years, He has a disastrous outing that kind of sets things back a bit. So I would like to see a lot of him in the seventh inning, just as a chance, or maybe even the sixth inning too. I know I mentioned we'd get back. Maybe the sixth inning as well, a little less leverage there, but a way just to get him rolling again, because when he is clicking, when he is on, he can be one of the better relievers this team has.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So I like to see Walker in the sixth, seventh inning. Another guy I wouldn't mind seeing in the seventh inning a little bit more is the guy who was the opener last night, and that's Matt Gage, the lefty the Giants found on waiver wires this year. And I think Gage is a phenomenal pitcher. I think he is just, again, it's been a short time here, but he has done terrific in his time with the Giants so far. They claimed him, he was with Detroit earlier this year, but in just 10 innings so far, he's holding hitters to a 121 batting average. He's looking very, very good right now. He has yet to allow a run as a Giant, and that right there, folks, is called a jinx. But I love what I'm seeing from Matt Gage right now. I would love to see him be that guy who comes in and, you know, ferries this game from the sixth inning to the eighth inning. And then when we get to the eighth inning, I would like to see Jose Buto be that guy in the eighth inning. I love what Buto brings to the mound. I think he has the stuff to be very, very good in the eighth inning. He had a career 170 ERA in 25 innings pitched in the eighth inning. He has experience in that frame. And I love the pitch mix he has. The great fastball slider combo with the sinker on top of it. And he's got some great off-speed stuff with the changeup. And then he can throw a little breaking in there with the sweeper. A five-pitch mix there where once upon a time, the Giants were going with the Tyler Rogers slider, basically, for the most part. I love the mix that Buto brings. The one knock I have on Buto, this is something that's going to have to be ironed out, and I'm not glossing over this. The walk rate's a little high. Last night, again, faced four batters, struck out two, did walk one. It felt like last night we got the whole kind of platter of what Jose Buto brings to the table. He'll strike guys out. He'll get the job done. There's going to be a walk mixed in. But I like Buto enough to where I want to see if he can handle that eighth inning. If you could get those roles squared away, whether it's Walker Gage in the seventh, Eric Miller, he'll be in the seventh inning mix as well. Cannot understate how important that is. Jose Buto or another guy. And Riz, I want to get your thoughts on this because Bob Melvin seems to be wanting to use him in the eighth inning. And I think it's a curious decision, but it's also working. So it's hard for me to shake a stick at it. And that's Joey Lucchese. And I'm just kind of curious there, Rizzo, as you see the work that Lucchese's done. Usually a starter. He's pitched really well, though. How do you feel about Joey Lucchese getting those late-inning high-leverage situations?
I mean, it's just not a formula that you could go into October with. I mean, that's for sure. Joey Lucchese is more of a back-end starter, long reliever type, and there's no way that he should be used in a leverage role. And we kind of talked about this a little bit before the show, but it just doesn't make much sense, and it kind of shows how thin the bullpen is right now after some of those moves that they made, trading away Duvall and Rogers. But it's kind of the cards that are dealt right now. And you know, maybe there's a dark horse that comes into this bullpen the last 2 months of the year. Maybe you get a Blade Tidwell in there. Maybe you mix in a Hayden Birdsong as a short reliever
down the
stretch. I mean, there's a hot take possibly, but I don't know if Joey Lucchese's the long-term fit. He's been great. Don't get me wrong. He's been great. But in a leverage spot, in big games, and again, the Giants, you know, what are the odds that they do play in October this year after the slide that they had? But if we are talking 5%. About big games, and we are talking about the eighth inning, and we are talking about leverage spots, I would like to see a little bit more.
I agree. Again, no, it's working right now, and I'm willing to work with Joey Lucchese in the eighth inning as of right now. He's a guy that, at the stage in his career that he is in, he's just trying to pitch. He just wants to go out there and just shove as hard as he can, and he's making it work right now. But the Giants, they got a lot of kind of bulk inning guys, really. Tristan Beck is a guy who you could pitch him in any inning, which I love about that. Thank you, Mark Melanson, for making that possible. Spencer Bivens is a guy who I kind of want them to go away a little bit right now just because I think they've worked him so much this year. I think he's a great six-inning guy. He's another guy who can just handle any sort of inning whatsoever, and there's so many versatile ways that the Giants can use one Spencer Bivens. And you also got Carson Seymour, another guy who can handle those middle innings. Kaiwei Tang, I think when Landon Roop comes back, if Tang is still on the roster, I think he could be a middle relief guy. Giants got plenty of great middle relief options who can gobble up that sixth and seventh inning there, along with, you know, that seventh inning along with Walker and Miller. The eighth inning is the interesting one. I like Buto. I'm willing to roll with Lucchese for now. How much longer? I don't know. As long as it's working, I'll roll with it. If things get shaken up a little bit, maybe you mix it up. Maybe Lucchese is a sixth, seventh inning guy. And Matt Gage becomes your other eighth inning guy along with Buto, which would be great because then you have that righty-lefty combo that you can alternate between in the eighth inning there to give you some optionality. And so this is going to be interesting to see how Bob Melvin works these roles out here. I'm curious kind of what the judgment process is going to be like. The pieces are there. The sooner the Giants get the bullpen roles in order, then I think you can feel very good about this team potentially making a run, though they do also have to score runs as well. Hopefully they can start doing that today. On the other side, we'll wrap the show up, talk about Carson Wisenhunt a little bit, and also 18 years ago on Thursday, Barry Bonds stood alone. Talk about that on the other side. It's the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Did you know that
Devers steps on the bag, here's the throw, and they got him.
Now back to the best Giants talk in the Bay, the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7, The Game.
I feel like a beached whale.
It's primetime TV.
I don't know why I did those drops, I just felt like it. Final 30 minutes-ish, keyword-ish, of the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. Sam Lubman here, Steve Rizzotto, Zach Green, killing it behind the glass today. You know who else has been killing it lately? It's the Golden State Valkyries on defense. Zach, I know you're at those games a lot. Despite losing Caleb Thornton, Mo Billings, it's a pretty tenacious defense the Valks been playing lately.
The games are really fun. The fans are insane. Today they got the Sparks, who have the same record as them. They've played, the Sparks have played really good ball since Cameron Brink came out. And I would expect a celebrity sighting tonight.
That is true, because Cam Brink, for those who do not know, Stanford legend, she is the goddaughter of Stephen Curry. So there's a chance that the chef could be in the building at Ballhalla tonight.
Hey!
That's because I'm bringing up the Valkyries, because tonight at 5:30, the Valkyries taking on the LA Sparks, Kelsey Plum, Cameron Brink. You can hear that game right here on 95.7 The Game and on the Valkyries channel on the LIC app. Just download that app and search Valkyries. The app is free, by the way. You can also watch the game on KPIX. Pre-game starts at 5 o'clock. Brought to you by the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. Your future begins here. As the Valkyries currently, let's see, they got 4, 5, 6, 7. They're currently in that 8th spot, tied for the Sparks, as Zach, you mentioned. 14 and 15, both of them. Valkyries desperately trying to be the first expansion team, the WNBA, to make the playoffs in their first year. And, yeah, Coach Natalie Nicasse, despite losing two of your best players, she's got this team playing some great defense. I believe they're fifth in defensive efficiency in the W this year. The Valkyries are making, are even though it's their first year, and it's a team of role players for the most part, they are setting an identity this year. This is a tenacious team, a defensive team. They do not give up, and I really got to applaud the job that Natalie Nicasse has done, setting a culture for this brand new franchise. Joe Lacob and GM Ohemian Nianan, absolute home run pick, I think, with Coach Nicasse and the tone that she has set. So hopefully the Valks can get into the win column tonight, even up their record, put some distance between them and the Sparks. And just, I've gotten a few of those games. I haven't gotten to a game yet just because of my own failings and schedule not really syncing up because I'm at Giants games a lot, but just a lot of great performances. Carla Lite balled out the other night in the Valkyries loss to the Las Vegas Aces, and loving what we've been seeing from Veronica Burton. Janelle Saloon, she is just getting better and better every week, and it's impressive to see this team battling after losing two of their best players. So shout out to the Valks for that one. Catch them tonight. We are wrapping this show up here. It's a big start for Carson Wisenhunt today. He is going to be on the mound taking on the Nationals at 1 o'clock, about an hour and a half away from first pitch there. We do have lineups for this game. I announced them earlier, but I'll announce them again for those who were not listening to the show at the time or just missed them, or maybe you just want to hear the lineup again. Maybe you just really like lineups. You know, I won't shake a stick at that if you really like lineups. Your lineups tonight, today, it's because it's a 1 o'clock start. Elliot Ramos in left. Rafi Devers batting second, DHing. Willy Adames at short, batting third. Big Dom Smith, the real Big Dom, batting cleanup at first base. And I actually don't hate having Dom Smith in the cleanup spot. Matt Chapman hitting fifth at third base. Jung-Hoo Lee hitting sixth and center. Casey Schmidt batting seventh and at second base. Drew Gilbert, can he get his first hit today? That would be pretty cool. He is batting eighth, and in right field, Andrew Kisner in the squat. He'll be putting down the signs for the lefty, number 88, Carson Wisenhunt, making his second start at home today. First one against the Pirates, against Mitch Keller, did not go as well as it could have gone because of the whole, you know, Pirates scoring more runs than the Giants did that night. That really kind of put a bummer on things, but he did get a win against New York last weekend. Love seeing that. And so hopefully he can get his first win at home. That'd be really cool to see there. Been some very interesting stuff from Wisenhunt so far. Steven Rizzotto, you pitched once upon a time, so you probably know a little bit more about pitching than I do. It's only been a couple starts so far, so obviously there's still so much more we need to see from this kid. Just what's been your first impressions of Carson Wisenhunt so far?
Well, everything is pointing to that changeup, and it's been well advertised in the minor leagues. It's been a big pitch, one of the best changeups by a pitching prospect at any level of the minor leagues. And it is for real. We didn't really see it in the first outing. The second outing, we saw it. It looks great. The one thing that I think is kind of a general consensus with everybody in the organization is there needs to be that third pick, the third pitch. And I think Shasky mentioned it too this week on the Morning Roast, that if he could develop a nice slider, something with movement in on a right-handed hitter, away from a left-handed hitter, it could kind of change his game and take it to the next level. And I think the one thing that I'm thinking of, and this is a stretch, I'm not comparing the repertoire when the guy came up. Clayton Kershaw, when he first came up, had the fastball and the curveball, and then he added the slider. Now, I'm not saying that Carson Wisenhutton is Clayton Kershaw at all, and he will never be, and I think we could feel comfortable saying that. But what I am saying is that that type of addition to where you could add a third pitch would be pretty instrumental in Carson Wisenhunt's game. But other than that, he looks good. Looks like a guy who had a great last few months in Sacramento and could make a difference here down the stretch to finish out the year. Not Clayton Kershaw, so don't take my words out of context.
So what you're saying is he's basically better than Clayton Kershaw already.
Lubman!
Steven Rizzotto, breaking news. Carson Wisenhunt is the greatest pitcher in baseball history.
I'm going to get called out for that.
There you go. But yeah, in his last start against the Mets last weekend, he did get the win, went 5 1/3, gave up 2 runs and a home run, did strike out 4 along with 2 walks there. His first start against the Pirates went 5 innings, 4 runs, 3 strikeouts, and also a home run. So maybe he could just, like, you know, not give up a home run today. That would be pretty cool. Of course, I shouldn't be bringing this up, but I am, because I just am a horrible person that way. When I saw the stat yesterday, it was like on some betting website, James Wood has not homered in 20 games. You said he hasn't homered since the All-Star break?
Since the All-Star break, he's been quiet.
Yeah. I hated seeing that. I hate stats like that. It's like when a team comes to town, they're on like a 7-game losing streak. It's just like, oh, that just means they're due. Exactly. Oh, I know that explosion. It's from the Kuminga crisis. So, going to see a little bit of Carson Wisenhunt today. So very excited to see what he does. And again, if the Nationals just stink, I'm going to be honest, they do. And if Wisenhunt can put up a good start today, build up that confidence. Because again, even though the Nationals stink, a good performance today from Wisenhunt will still matter. What's like, you got Landon Root coming back soon. Can you count on Carson Wisenhunt to give you some plus innings down the stretch? And you already know that you feel good when Landon Root's on the mound. And then you got 3 guys in Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, Justin Verlander, who are proven winners. And the Justin Verlander part's an interesting one. He's going to be going tomorrow against the Nationals. He has pitched very well for this team ever since getting his first win. And it feels like just with him, the monkey is off his back, so to speak, in terms of just when you're a guy like him who just throughout your career, you've had almost nothing but success. And then here you are, you're trying to prove you still have game left in you. And you just, that 0-3 is turning into an 0-4, and then it's an 0-5, and then it's an 0-6. And it's just the goose egg in that win column is just glaring at you while you have all these crooked numbers dancing around in your loss column. There's no way that was not absolutely grinding on a guy like Justin Verlander. And I got to imagine that getting that first win has just relaxed him to a point where it's like, finally, got that done with. Let's just focus on pitching. And he got that win in Atlanta. And in his last 3 starts, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, he's got 15 innings pitched, and he's allowed 2 runs in that time. Got 14 strikeouts in those 15 innings. So last 3 starts, Justin Verlander's pitched about as well as he's needed to all year long. He's doing it consistently. And he's getting some help behind him. Need to see more of that. And then need to see another great performance from Carson Wisenhunt today. After we saw Kaiwei Tang do last night, set the tone. You know, like, hey, Tang's going to go out there and shove like he just did last night. Carson, now it's your turn. Let's keep this thing rolling here. Let's start putting a winning streak together. Giants have won 3 in a row. 5 of their last 7 coming out of the trade deadline. Just keep stacking wins. Keep stacking series wins. Win this series against the Nationals. And then you can get greedy tomorrow with Verlander on the hill. Go for the sweep over a bad team at home, which is something that playoff teams should be able to do. And then that sets you up with some momentum going into what will be a very tough series against a much improved the San Diego Padres, who got that new closer, Mason Miller. You know, it's been an up-and-down season for him. By the way, Padres giving up the number 3 prospect for Mason Miller, or number 3 prospect among others, for Mason Miller and then J.P. Sears. And then they immediately just throw J.P. Sears down in the minors.
Oh, no.
Like, Steven, you and I, we were talking about this before this show. The work that A.J. Preller does, and we were comparing him to Dave Dombrowski. And it was like, you know, would you rather have a Dave Dombrowski or an A.J. Preller? I mean, I'd probably want to go with an A.J. Preller, but man, that guy is crazy with the prospects that he throws out there.
It's almost like that David Dombrowski is like the more controlled version of A.J. Preller, where it's like the filtered and the safe for work version is David Dombrowski. He's got the track record of success. And then just like the satellite radio HBO type is A.J. Preller, where it's a little bit more chaotic and uncensored.
Yeah, A.J. Preller is just throwing stuff at the wall to see what works in some of these trades. And I kind of respect it. And the reason why I think I've looked at the Padres, it's like there's no way this is sustainable. It's looking like it. And the reason Preller can make crazy trades like this and give up the number three prospect in baseball is because he's got a Hall of Famer at third base in Manny Machado. And he's going to be a great baseball player for the next 4 or 5 years. And when Machado's game starts to, you know, decline because of age, that's going to be right at the same time that Fernando Tatis Jr. is going to be in the thick of the prime of his career. Oh, you also got Jackson Merrill, too, who's also a pretty good baseball player, and his career is just getting started. You got a lot of great talent on that team. You got pillar guys to build around on that team. And so A.J. Preller, he is going to keep just going crazy there. And the haul he got, he also brought in Ryan O'Hearn to be the DH. He's having a great year. He's a guy I wanted the Giants to get at one point. And then you also got Ramon Laureano in the outfield. So, who, great arm for Laureano. So,
what kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All that is to say, today's game and tomorrow's game are very important for the Giants to build some momentum going into that big series against the Padres. Two things we'll wrap up here with the show with here. One, Drar Encarnacion. I wanted to spend a little bit more time on him, but I don't think we're going to have that opportunity today. But he was put on the injured list, unfortunately, again, with a hamstring strain. And here is what Bob Melvin had to say yesterday pregame about Drar Encarnacion and his latest injury.
It's tough. I mean, it's one of those years that you really feel for the guy. I mean, this is the best opportunity to ever come to the big leagues and have a real spot. I saw that coming out of spring. There was going to be one for him, and you know, we finally get him back here, and it's very impactful in the two games that he played over there. He hit two homers. We won the games. And now all of a sudden he's out for a significant period of time. It's going to be between a month and 6 weeks. So, you know, just try to, you know, get him back when he can, and hopefully there's some time where he can be impactful again.
So a month to 6 weeks, let's just say the quiet part out loud, I think we've seen the last of Gerard Encarnacion this season. And the question I really wanted to ask, and we don't really have time to dive too deep into it, but just like, what is Gerard Encarnacion to this team? This is a guy that last year, let's rewind a little bit further beyond that. Last year at the trade deadline, the Giants traded away Jorge Soler, and Farhan Zaidi, after proclaiming that he, you know, owner of the best rotation in baseball, also said that with the trading away of Soler, it's going to open things up to give Marco Luciano at-bats at the DH spot. And almost immediately, the Giants pivoted off that plan and went right into, actually, no, let's give Gerard Encarnacion these at-bats. And I understood why. That power is tantalizing. I mean, he absolutely booted that one. No, I shouldn't say boot. That's for messing up plays. He absolutely nutted that one the other day in Pittsburgh. 442 feet. Like, wow, he crushed that. A massive potato shot.
Big potato.
Big potato shot there. Shout out Steven Ruderman with that one there. And when you see moments like that, it's like, yeah, I get it. But what he basically is, guys, is he's Pedro Serrano. He can hit the ball far, but he needs to be able to hit the ball. You know, I can hit straight ball. I cannot hit curve ball. I'm not going to do too much of a Serrano impersonation. But that's kind of where... Mm-hmm. And the Giants, unfortunately, Gerard Encarnacion could be in better hands right now, health-wise. And I cannot believe we have that as a drop. The power is so tantalizing. The contact, though, leaves so much to be desired. And I don't think he can put the bat on the ball consistently enough to where you're feeling good about him as a DH every day. He has the look of a prototypical DH, but he doesn't have the contact profile. And so I like the experiment. I was down to give the experiment a shot. The injuries, though, have just completely derailed it. And with the arrival of Rafi Devers, with the impending arrival of Bryce Eldridge, with Drew Gilbert looking good in right field, with Elliot Ramos being a corner outfielder option, maybe they move him to right field and put Drew Gilbert in left at some point. Hey, who knows? You got too many corner outfielder, corner infielder DH types on this team. And much in the same reason why I just don't see space for Bryce Eldridge on this team right now, a similar reason is why I don't see a future for Gerard Encarnacion with this team. That's just the reality of it. It sucks. Because I really want to see what he could have done if he could have gotten the contact just a little bit better. But it seems like the Gerard Encarnacion dream, however faint it was, is gone now. The Marco Luciano dream, that also might be gone as well. Whether or not he was in the... I don't know how much of a conversation was had about Luciano, whether to call him up and just see what there is, but the fact that the Giants immediately pivoted to Gerard Encarnacion at DH last year, the fact that they immediately pivoted to Drew Gilbert this year, just because Luciano's hitting well down in AAA, I think he's got around 20 home runs, got about a 770 OPS, which are solid numbers, but there's no position you could put him at. You don't feel good about any infield spot. I don't think he can handle right field. And there's no DH time for him. There's no consistent playing time for him here. And he's just not forcing the issue to show that he belongs at the big league level. And so I feel like the Marco Luciano dream, I don't want to give up on him completely, but if he ever does become a great baseball player, I don't think it's happening for the Giants. And it's a shame, too, because I went out to Stockton in 2021 for a Ports San Jose Giants game. And in the seventh inning of that one, this kid, 19 years old, bigger than everyone else on the field, hit another big potato to deep center field, a Rafi Deversian shot to deep center field. And I couldn't stop talking about the rest of the night. I was with my girlfriend at the time, and she thought I was nuts, just babbling, you know, nonstop about this home run on the drive home. And it's not the reason we're not together anymore. It's other reasons. But that's just how excited I was for this kid at one point. And so it sucks. But with every door that closes, another one opens. And that's where Drew Gilbert comes in. That's where Blade Tidwell comes in. Do I have my Blade Tidwell drop? I have no idea where I put it. There it is.
Allow me the pleasure of introducing you to Blade Laser. Blazer.
That's my Blade Tidwell.
I mean, bring it on, man.
So we'll see. Then, of course, there is Bryce Eldridge, who soon he will be hitting giant bombs out of Oracle Park. You know who used to hit giant bombs out of Oracle Park? Barry Bonds. Steven, could you play the highlight, please? I just threw you on the spot.
Three balls and two strikes. The overshift is on, and Bassett deals. And Bonds hits one high. Hits it deep. It is out of here. 756. Bonds stands alone. He is on top of the all-time home run list. What a special moment for Barry Bonds. And what a special moment for these fans here in San Francisco. There it is.
There it was, 18 years ago on this past Thursday. Steven Rizzotto was like 6 years away from even being born when that one happened. I happened to be there that night, and I believe it was in the fifth inning to lead off against Mike Bassick. What a lot of people don't know is Giants lost that game 8-6. Barry Zito took the L that night. And yeah, what a special moment that was. I was sitting in section 222 when it happened, and I almost didn't go to that game. I was supposed to go with my dad and a work colleague of his. And I was at my mom's house, and my stepmom was supposed to pick me up and take me to BART. I almost missed the phone call, which means I would have missed the game, but got picked up, went to the game, and met my dad at the ballpark. And I have no way to verify this. I have no way to prove this to anybody. So you just got to take my word for it that I am being truthful to you here. I, Sam Lubman, would never tell this kind of a lie. But when he had the count 3-2 against Bassick in the fifth inning, no outs, I just remember thinking to myself, he hit 73 on a 3-2 pitch. Maybe he'll hit 756 on this 3-2 pitch right here. And then sure enough, he hit it on the next pitch. You have to believe me on that one. Did I call it? Sure, why not? That was my thought process when that happened. And to this day, it's still probably one of the greatest. I mean, I saw number 73 as well. But that might be one of the greatest historical moments I've ever seen. It's probably the greatest historical moment I've seen take place on a baseball field. Granted, I mean, I've never seen a no-hitter. I was not there for Matt Cain's perfect game. My dad was, though. So I'm curious if he puts 756 ahead of the perfect game or vice versa. But man, 18 years since that happened. And it's still an absolute shame that Barry Bonds is not in the Hall of Fame. I can't think of a single reason why he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Like, literally, there's not a single legitimate reason why.
Oh, what about the steroids?
Yeah, shut up. It is just a shame. And still, one of the seminal moments of Bay Area sports history. And I just remember sitting in my seat for the next 2-3 innings. The buzz around the ballpark was insane. First off, half the ballpark got up and went to the store after that home run to get all the new merchandise that was given out. I think I was there the next night when he hit 757. That's when you went to the booth and you got the I was there for 756 pin. And that was, I had so many of those pins, those I was there pins for Barry Bonds. And I had them on my backpack, and people would give me grief because everyone knew it was cool to hate on Barry at the time. And I didn't care. I stuck by Barry through thick and thin. And just such a great, great moment that I felt so fortunate enough to witness along with 42,000 other Giants fans. And yeah, just it's man, the passage of time, man. I don't like it. 18 years ago, Bonds stood alone. Still stands alone at 762. Pop quiz, anyone know who gave up 762? Rizzo, I know you know.
I do know.
Yeah. Does Zach know? It's a very end of the week.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Ubaldo Jimenez. Yep, one of the only pitchers to actually be able to pitch well, sort of, at Coors Field. And he hit it at Coors Field, of all places. I believe that was the first home run Ubaldo ever gave up against Barry. So it was, fact check me on this, I want to say how many pitchers did Barry hit home runs off of? I want to say it was like 400-something, pitchers that Barry hit home runs off of. Mike Grucco, one of those pitchers. 460, I want to say.
You're off by about 30. 433.
Oh, okay. I was right in the 400s then. But yeah, 433 different pitchers Barry went deep off against. Number 433 being 762 and Ubaldo Jimenez. And so, man, it's just crazy to think that so much time has passed. And Barry, by the way, I see him walk around the ballpark every now and then. Still looks like he can step in the lineup and do some damage for this Giants team. And I bang it on the table. Do it. Reset his clock. Let's reset his Hall of Fame clock. There's enough stupid nuttiness going on in the world. Let's add another layer onto it, because why not? Nothing matters anymore. You know what does matter, though, is this big Giants game that's coming up in about an hour and 5 minutes and 31 seconds, 30 seconds. Actually, no, hour and 10 minutes, because it's a 1:05 start, not a 1 o'clock start. And I got to head over to that game, because I will be at that game today. Rizzo, I think you're going to be rolling with me as well. Zach, are you a Valkyries tonight, or you're at the Niners tonight?
I'm at the Valks.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, hopefully the Valks even things up there as well. Again, catch that game tonight at 5:30. And then later this evening, lock in with Mark Grandy for your Red and Gold postgame show. Talk about the Niners' first preseason game of the year. And so, yeah, great show today, guys. A lot of fun Giants talk. There's so many things we didn't get to with this team. There's so much that we can still talk about with this team. So, you know what? Let's just do it next week. Dan Devone will be back in studio next week as well. Be great to have him back. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in today. Let's hope the Giants can make this a 4-game winning streak. And most importantly of all, if you're going to come away with any sort of takeaway from this show, it is this one true fact. The Dodgers suck. Bye, everyone.
This is Dan Devone saying, so long, everybody.
Later, dudes. Later, Rip. Hang Pen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.